Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for blessing us with your presence throughout this entire service. Thank you for being with us last night as well when we gathered for study. And thank you for blessing us there with new truths and understanding. Please let the showbread be changed again today. And please bless everyone here in attendance and all those that are on our prayer list. Thank you for blessing the Sabbath as you always do. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness so that we can be worthy of that latter rain when you decide to let it fall. And thank you for letting us be alive in these last days to see your hand move so often. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak. And thank you again for blessing us with truth so as we can share it with others. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I want to welcome the new people here. Brother Damien, I was talking to him for a little while in PMs, and then Joe T. and Gotti. Okay, and if you want texting, I think I've seen an email from Joe, so later on I'll turn on your texting. I haven't gotten one from Brother Gotti yet, so just send me an email if you want to be able to text in the room, and we'll take care of it. And after church today, if y'all can hang around a little bit, let me just a short announcement in regards to the next gathering. So, anyway, if you're new and you want to read along with us in the study, just scroll underneath the chat room. We're on question number 8. And the question is, if our heart is with the Lord, what question will we ask? And then the answer, of course, is given from Psalm chapter 116. Verse 12. And that is, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Or toward me. But today we say towards. Yeah, the S. You know, just the other day, as a matter of fact, I was in prayer on this. Thank you, Brother Gorin. But I was in prayer, and I was asking the Lord for more light, as his word says, is ours to receive if we are faithful with the light we already have. And the thought came to mind as to why I want it. there are two main reasons I want more light. Number one, I want more light so as to better understand the Lord's will on everything that can come in, you know, my way in life. So as to be a better preacher, teacher, pastor, whatever. And husband, dad, whatever. So that, you know, that's one of the main reasons, of course. And then the other one being number 2, I want more light so as to better understand his will in all things, so as to have more opportunities to make him smile. You know, because I want to be able to understand seeing his hand move. And as I look around at the trials he sends my way, as well as your way, because I, you know, some of you are going through some pretty intense stuff. Which are actually answers to prayer so as to make us all better Christians, you know, obviously. I also see the blessings he has bestowed upon, you know, myself and some of you and the church family and our families. I mean, we all have a roof over our heads. We have food on our table. We have his angels encamped around us. And I mean, what on earth could I possibly do to thank him for all this, you know? And when I was a little boy, and I've shared this before, I noticed how all that I needed was supplies, you know, by my mom and dad. And quite often, there were things I wanted that were not supplied because we could not afford them. Still, as I grew older, I saw how having such items could cause me to be, you know, less humble, like all those I knew in school that would tease and taunt me because I didn't have new shoes, or a nice winter coat, or even the toys all the other kids had, especially around the pagan festival of Christmas, you know. And it was quite often I would only have 2 pairs of pants for the entire school year. I just switched on and off, on and off, on and off. No one really noticed. praise God, unless, of course, I ripped them, in which I often did. Then it's noticeable because, you know, you always have the same rip in the pants. But I did have all I needed, and I was happy that I had parents, that I had the parents that I did, because I knew some of the dysfunctional families in the area. And so I wanted to thank them, my parents, that is, in a way that would make them smile, because being a little boy, I was not able to go out and get a job, pay the bills, and, you know, help my mom and dad, you know, like paint the house even, for that matter. So I would just do extra chores around the house, and that would make my parents smile. And so now that I'm an adult, and again, I see all that I have is exactly what I need, and I still may not have the best shoes like the others. As a matter of fact, I got 3 pairs of shoes. One for when I go into town, one when I preach, and one when I'm walking in the woods. That's it. I don't, you know, need much of anything else, I would think. But I do have all I need in, you know, in just the basic necessities of life. And on top of that, I have perfect peace in my heart, knowing that when I leave this sinful planet, if I stay faithful, I will have all I need for eternity because of the promises of our Lord. But still, I can in no way thank him for those things he has done for me. And so all I can do is be obedient to him, because I know in so doing that is going to make him smile. It's at least, you know, the very least that I can do for all the blessing, you know, he has bestowed upon me and my family. And now I will again echo what the psalmist says here, but I will add the next verse as well as a way to explain why we should do all, you know, that we can for all that the benefits the Father has blessed us with in life. I mean, Psalm chapter 116 again, but now it's 12 and 13. It says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You know, as the old hymn goes, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross of Christ I cling." So amen and amen. All right, question number 9. Now, this one might take me a while. The question is, what will we bring when we come into his courts? In Psalm 96:8 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." This particular study is about recognizing God's ownership, right? That's the title, recognizing God's ownership. That's the title for this study, lesson number 27, for those of you that have already gone through them. As obedient Christians striving to be that, you know, the 144,000 or the Gideon band, we know that all that is ours, be it spiritual or physical blessings, is not ours in the sense that we had anything to do with it. Yeah, some may assume that they have certain positions in life because they spent the money and time to go to college and learn their craft, but the reality here is the money to pay for college, and this includes the fact that most have government loans to get there, are also from the Lord, plus the wherewithal in the brain to actually understand what you're learning. You know, so that way you can actually be worth hiring in a particular field. It's also granted us from the Lord. Wisdom comes from above. And this even includes those that don't have the money to go, those that are too sick to attend, and even those with the inability to learn certain things. You know, the Lord prevents us from doing certain things in the same way he grants us to do certain things. Yes, it may appear that doors are closing all around us when we can't get to do the things we want to do, but have you ever thought that what we want, you know, like in life or even what we just want to do may not be what he needs us to do? I don't know how many times I've gone through that in my life, I got to tell you. I mean, Fran and I can just rattle off a list of all the things that we thought, okay, the Lord wants us to do this or he wants us to do that, and we try it and then we fall flat on our face. It just didn't work out right. I mean, we could find blessings in the strangest areas of life, and in all cases, it is of our God. The rich man that finds Christ discovers he can use his wealth to further the work. The poor man that finds Christ has doors opening for him as well, wherein the rich man cannot enter so as to share his faith, and even the sick have doors opened, wherein they can testify to the Lord, you know, or about the Lord and how he sends them the peace and everything that they need to get through their day, or live during their sickness. But, you know, and God's going to send people their way, and they're going to testify. And then it actually makes being a Christian worth it, even if we're trapped in a dungeon enjoying his presence in the pit. You know, because, yeah, a lot of us are going through trials, myself included, right now. Some of them are physical trials, some of them are spiritual trials, some of them are trials from, you know, just the world itself, the way it treats Christians. But it's nothing compared to what it's going to be like if we are to be in that number. We have to get to a certain point in reality that dictates we can never turn our back on him. You know, all too often mankind has a tendency to see himself as a self-made man. And that literally is like just turning around, just turning your back on Christ. This prideful temptation has caused many to fall off the path, because even in the church we find some that, because of their strong desire to be glorified before the people, they're going to come up with strange doctrines so as to appear especially blessed of God, because after a while, their celebrityhood just ain't enough for them. So now they want to be that flash in the pan that comes out and declares a whole new doctrine all of a sudden. And they'll get a gathering because, I mean, sure, a lot of people are going to leave because there's just a bunch of obedient people everywhere. They're just going to walk away. If Christ is going to be kicked out of the church, yeah, the people of God are going to walk out. We have to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. But there's still going to be some sheeple that are going to stay in the pew because they're going to follow the leader. Just like Jesus said, blind leaders are the blind. And this is powerful, of course, in today's world because of the convenience factor. I mean, you can walk into a store and walk out, what, in 5 minutes with a with what you need. You can walk into a fast food restaurant in even less time with a meal. And so that lures a lot of people to think that they can just walk into a church without a Bible in hand, sit down, listen to a preacher, and then walk out and figure they've done their duty for the week. Convenient. They figure, well, that guy went to school for 4, maybe 8 years to learn how to preach and teach. That right there tells you don't go anywhere near that church, but a lot of people don't know that. Seminaries and Bible colleges aren't what they used to be. They're now all about making money. Everybody is about making money. Even the United States of America is no longer a country. It's a corporation. It's all about money now. And so this has to be one of the strangest downfalls of it I've ever witnessed when it comes to men and women of God that had, you know, a work to do for the Lord and all of a sudden decided that they wanted to kick it up a notch, even though he didn't say they had permission. You know, one can see how someone that appears educated can come off as especially blessed, but only when they follow the word as it is written. What amazes me is how some will attempt to appear just as blessed, but by uplifting false doctrine. It's, you know, it's one thing to seek self-glory using the talents and the wisdom God has given, you know, like with singers and artists and whatnot, but to seek self-glory with the lies of the devil seems so strange. I mean, we are all living on probation while still living on this sin-sick world. And for those of us that had criminal pasts like myself, you know all about probation. They're watching you. You got to report in. Well, probation from on high is a lot different. You know, you can get away with doing stuff with probation with mankind. I know, because I was on probation many times when I was a hood or a punk. But those who have passed on in the church itself and have been tested and tried and hopefully have passed the test so as to gain the eternal reward is always going to be, you know, the prayer of the saints, but not, I mean, after the, of course, the people die, you know, you're done praying for them. You can't really continue after that point. Then they're going to get the reward, whatever that may be. But a desire to glorify God should be to us, the most dominant of all motives in our Christian walk. Not only does it make him smile, it makes him known by those looking on. But if we declare the blessings we have to be, like the end result of our own labor, like, hey, I wouldn't have what I have if it wasn't for what I've done. You know, that's an I. You got an I problem. Capital I problem. And then all that could have been done to glorify the Lord is forfeited so as to glorify self. You remember what Solomon did? You know, hey, check out all the, you know, all the money. Look at all the gold. He didn't glorify the Lord. The other toss I'd add is, take the prophet Daniel, who was especially blessed by the Lord as a man who could be used to glorify him. Daniel did not forget God so as to place himself in a glorified position, even though that was thrust upon him. I mean, Daniel constantly placed God in the forefront in all he did, and he did so even in danger of being killed. Daniel could be trusted to run with the truth set before him. And so God used him and his three friends to declare the God of the Bible as the true God, and in so doing, Daniel and his friends were blessed with knowledge and skill and learning and all wisdom. Daniel even was able to decipher dreams. And, you know, I wonder how many people, even in today's world, have bypassed all these blessings because if they decided to stand firm in Christ one particular day when someone was mocking a Christian or just mocking them or mocking Christ the Lord, you know, no third person involved, just Jesus himself being slammed, and you don't say anything. Yeah, you might lose a friend. They might start laughing at you. Or you might even lose your job. Well, you want to compare that with a lion's den? Sir, do you? Really? I mean, because a lot of people will go there in today's world. Everything is a lot different, it seems, in the modern age, if you want to call it that. But still, I understand. Most of us are not captive children in foreign lands like Daniel was. But look around. Soon, even though we stand in our own land, we too, like Daniel, will soon be captive when the many prophesied unjust laws are passed. I mean, they've already passed the one we were waiting for decades. We know what went down at the flood of Noah. We know the reason for the rainbow. And so we knew they were going to pass homosexual laws, you know, homosexual marriage. I mean, what Jesus even predicted in Luke 17, as well as in other Gospels, of course. But he goes in a little bit of detail in Luke. It's going to be like in the days of Lot and in the days of Noah. Still, already we find ourselves in what appears to be a foreign land right now. This used to be a Christian nation. Now, if you're a Christian, they mock you. They ridicule you. The politicians actually spout, you know, Bible verses out of context left and right now because they know who's being attacked and they want to, you know, they want to appeal to the downtrodden and the persecuted. So as soon as they get in office, they'll forget you like the guy before them. So, but our nation, it's getting to be, it's just as trying as it was for Daniel and his friends in Babylon, because for all intents and purposes, since the Vatican took over America in Ronald Reagan's second term, and most of all the other nations and their churches as well, we as Christians are being held captive in Babylon. It's global now. That being the case, should we not be that much more serious about our walk? Because really, even if you left the United States of America and went somewhere else, yeah, okay, fine, the mark's going to be enforced here first. But does it really matter? If you literally were able to prophetically decipher which nation was going to be the last one to have the mark enforced, would it really make any difference to go there now? Yeah, you might be able to do a little bit more work, but you can do work no matter where you're at. And what if that's not your Father's will for you to be there? Yeah, everywhere we stand in now can be a blessed opportunity to let those around us see that you give God the glory for all that is set before you. It's going to be a lot of lion's dens in the coming days. I mean, after all, did not Jesus say in Matthew 5:16 that we should let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? I mean, our God has given all mankind undeniable immortal principles that, whether they adhere to it or not, all will eventually bow to. to us especially, his remnant bride. He has given us his truth, trusting we will use it as he planned for it to be used. And if we don't, yeah, we're going to be released from the task. And it'll be given to another. But that is not an area you want to be in. Those precious beams of light are not to be hidden under a bushel, but are to give light to all that are in the house. Show everyone he sends your way that the truth is of great value to you. I mean, good news like that spreads pretty quick. When your friend, your coworker, your classmate, or even your loved ones closest to you wants you to do something sinful, you can just politely refuse so as to allow them to see Christ in you, even if it upsets them. You know, after a few years, maybe even after a few decades, they'll start to realize that you're one that stands to your convictions. The rest of the world, well, they fall for anything, because they don't stand for anything. The bottom line is this. Our Lord has given us, each of us, talents, wherein his name may be exalted. We are not self-made Christians. That's just oxymoronic. It can't be done. It is Christ, our righteousness. None of us must be praised. None of us must be honored. And certainly none of us must be glorified while the one who blessed us with those talents is forgotten. I mean, whose feet are we going to put that crown at when it's all said and done? Ours? Oh, or how about your neighbor? No. They're going to be put at the foot of Christ, because he's the one that gave the talents to do the work in the first place. All of us have been entrusted with gifts from the Lord. This includes the rich, the poor, the healthy, and the sick. None of us should waste any God-given talent whatsoever. This includes those that only have one talent. I mean, for the basic reality is, when we use the talents or talent given, he always sends more, because he knows we just use the one he gave to glorify him, and so we can be trusted with more. He knows that we're going to run with it. He knows that we're not ashamed of him, like so many are. You know, literally, if somebody starts making fun of the Lord Jesus Christ, or they'll crack a joke. Now, sometimes they'll catch you off guard and you don't know a joke is about to be thrown, because that happened to me one time at a funeral. I had no idea one of my siblings was telling a joke, and it catches you off guard and you laugh, and then all of a sudden you realize, whoa, that wasn't good. Because then the mind starts to calculate exactly what was being said there, and it ain't good. But when you know the joke is vulgar, and you know it's going to end up that way, or you know it's blasphemous, you walk away from it. Still, we have to spend every moment. And I mean, I'm not saying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but we are to use the talents he gives us, because the truth here is they are the Lord's anyway, and he's given them to us because he knows that we can do with that talent. And a talent isn't just what we define as a talent nowadays. I mean, because a lot of people think, you know, well, I can't do next to nothing. Yeah, but you have a lot of free time. Or you are a rich man or rich woman, whatever, or you have a lot of wisdom in this respect or that respect, or you're good with computers or something like that, because a lot of our work is online. Is my computer throwing out noises? Is anybody hearing it? Hope not. No? Okay, good. Yeah, because I'm hearing, how it gives you those USB noises. Okay. Thanks. Because I'm hearing it, so I'm going to turn it down so it doesn't come into the microphone. So, getting back. We are only vessels. Clay pots, if you will, actually. I remember one time years ago, this one guy, he was trying to make a point, and it worked out pretty well, the point he was making. He was a creationist, and a lot of people were talking about evolution and stuff like that, and there's just no way that you can create mankind from the dust of the earth. I said, all right, well, okay, think what you want. He went in his backyard, dug up some dirt, put in a little baggie, and then he went into his house and took some of his toenails. I know some of this is gross. Some of his toenails, a tooth that got extracted from one of his kids or something. My dad used to collect all the kids' teeth for some reason. I don't know why. But, and there was a lot of them. 11 kids. But, you know, a couple of teeth he put in, he put all this in a blender with, you know, with hair and stuff like that, and ground it up until it was a fine powder, and brought him into a laboratory, and the, asked him to analyze the substance, you know, because he ground up the dirt too, get it to look similar to the powder of, you know, the toenails and the teeth or whatever. And they said it was identical. Well, not identical, he says, but it's the same stuff, dirt, because you got dirt has different minerals in it, no matter, you know, in different areas of the world. You might have a little bit more iron in one soil than you do in another. For example, I don't know if it's in Kentucky, but I have seen it here in Indiana. You'll cruise through some areas where, like early in the year or towards the end of the year, and you'll see red dirt or brown dirt. Out here, it's black, but we have sandy soil, because when I lived in Illinois, you had black, rich soil. You dug down a few feet, and then you had this real thick clay. Out here, you know, you got sand mixed with, so I guess there was a lot of water here one time. So, but, oh, wow, I just realized the phone. Yeah, I forgot the phone. All right, we'll put the phone on in a minute. But, again, we're only vessels used by him. You know, clay pots, if you will, and to bring in the glory, do his name. If we can't do this down here, how can we trust it to use these talents in eternity when we are ordained to be his ambassadors in the universe? And I'm not talking about the universe that some preachers are talking to now. That's pantheism, if you've seen my most recent video. But let me ask you this. And this may seem a little strange analogy to use, but have you ever rented a truck to help a friend in need to help them move into a home, let's say, or office or whatever? When the good deed was done, did you declare yourself glorified for being able to supply the truck? Or did you return the truck to the one who loaned it to you? All right. You didn't have the truck until the owner of the truck loaned it to you, like a U-Haul. You had to return it to him, did you not? My point is, even the 24 elders know all about the blessings they have that allow them to wear those crowns. But what do they do with those crowns when the time, you know, comes for them to glorify the Lord? Look at Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11. The 4 and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Are we not promised crowns as well? Look at James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I guess I dropped off a letter there. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 says, And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And look at Revelation 3, verse 11. And this is, you know, this is especially for the babes and people that are being drawn away from people or by people that have fruits that are extremely evil. And yet, because they're your friends, you and I continue to hang with them. Well, Revelation 3, 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hope and pray you were blessed. We'll be back in a minute.